Okay, so number one is, does it mean to say that God is the creator? Say that God is the creator means that God made all things from nothing. And keeps them in existence. By his providence, God creates with wisdom and love. Creation is the foundation of all God's saving plans, the beginning of the history of salvation that culminates in Christ. So next to Christ, I want you to write down in several words next to Christ. Put mineral, and after mineral, plant, after plant, animal, and after animal, man. Write it down, after man, angel. After angel, Mary. And then God. There you have the order of creation. Mineral would be a rock. Plant would be a plant. Animal. A dog, man, us, angel would be your guardian angel or Saint Michael. Then above that is Mary, who's the queen. And then finally we have God. So God created, this is called the ladder of existence. From the most primitive, like a rock. The rock exists. The plant is greater than the rock because it lives, has life. Animal can move. Man is a rational being. The angel is greater than us because of his intelligence and his will. Mary is the queen of angels and saints. And who created all these would be God. That is what is called the order of existence, according to Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas. So we're pretty high in the order of existence. The difference between us and these other existences that we have intellect and we have will. The object of the intellect is the truth. We can know the truth. And the object of the will is love. We also have what is called a soul. Our soul is different than what a mineral is. A mineral doesn't have a soul. A plant doesn't have a soul. Animal doesn't have a soul. We have a soul. And our soul is going to live forever. So your soul, you have your soul as soon as you're conceived in the womb of your mother. God infused a soul in you. That soul is going to be living forever. Your soul is invisible. For example, you have a memory, right? Your memory is invisible, right? Right? You have understanding. You have an understanding. You can understand certain concepts. That's invisible. You have imagination. You can imagine things. All those are part of what is called the soul. So the body's going to die, but the soul is going to live forever.
I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but if you, what's it called? When you baptize a baby,
yes.
What happens if you baptize an animal? Can it have a soul?
No, an animal has life. but the animal does not have an immortal soul. I mean, it's not a bad question. I've never heard it before, but the animals, all these, the plant, the animal, as well as the mineral, are going to decompose, which means they're not going to exist in time. Whereas, like, our body is going to die, but our soul, as I mentioned, our imagination, our understanding, that's going to live forever. Yes?
Do animals not go to heaven?
No, they're not going to. Once they die, that's it.
Oh, so it's just like, usually they're done. Like, they can't come back.
That's it, yeah. That sucks. Well, no, it's not, because animals serve a purpose. For example, we have an older priest with us, and he's getting close to 90 years old. And having a couple of animals in the house is very important. We have a couple of cats. Yeah, and having an animal like a dog or a cat. I remember once hearing a story of this man. He decided that he was going to commit suicide because he lost his wife and he's about 80 years old. He felt that there was no reason for living, so he was going to just end his life. But his wife, before he died, decided to send him a dog, knowing that she was going to die. So after she died, postman delivered him a dog. And the fact that he had a dog, he decided he was going to live because of the joy that the dog brought to him. So everything in creation, look at creation, its totality, God created for us, so that by using it properly, we can get to heaven. You understand? Maybe it's somewhat philosophical, but everything out there in the world, God created as a means by which, as a bridge or a ladder by which, we can get to heaven. You know, animals, animals like pets, dogs or cats, whatever, bring a lot of joy to a lot of people, not simply old people. Maybe some of you have had a cat or a dog, and maybe you still have one. No, I mean, it's a lot of work. You got a cat or dog, you got to pick up, you got to feed them, you got to groom them. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. So God created. Problem is this, is that I said in the class with the girls yesterday, is, I'll tell you another story. When I arrived 23 years ago here, from South America, I remember watching the news, and there was a woman that was running, and she was running at Big Bear, and you know what a mountain lion is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A mountain lion jumped out and grabbed onto the woman and mauled her, thereby killing her. So then they shot the mountain lion, and it turned out that the mountain lion was a female, and she had her cubs. And the woman who died was a mother who had a couple of kids. So what happened was they raised money for both the cubs and for the children of the woman. And they raised more money for the cubs of the mountain lion than for the orphan children of the woman. That's wrong. Totally wrong. And that's where we're heading in society. We're heading in society, a society in which animals almost have the same worth as a human person. And have you ever driving with your mom and you see that there's animal hospitals? Did you know that there are actually animal hospitals today? And you can take your dog or your cat into an animal hospital to have an operation, and that can be thousands of dollars. You got, you cross over the line, Tecate, Tijuana, you got the kids there that are dying of hunger in Tijuana that, they don't have enough to eat. For me, I've got problems with that. I don't know about you. That's wrong. So we're putting the animals on a higher level than the human person. I mean, I love animals. I've got a couple of cats. I like it. I like the cats. I'm not going to place the cats above the priest I live with. It's crazy. So you got to be careful what you're listening to, what's going on in the world, because the world is changing radically. It's changing radically. You know what that means? Changing radically. We mean changing very quickly and very in a very, very fast way in which we can barely keep up with change. And not to say that change can be good, but change can be evil too. And animals are good. My dad had a German Shepherd, and his little brother was walking out in the street there in Detroit, Michigan, and there was a car coming at my little, my uncle was a little 3-year-old, and the dog ran and pulled him out of the street. He saved my uncle. You maybe hear stories of that. You have almost like a sixth sense where they sense danger and they run to help people. But we can't say that a dog or a cat or any animal is on the same level as us.
In the Ten Commandments, it's saying not to kill. So if you kill an animal, does that still count?
No, I mean, okay. For example, if an animal is very, very sick, you have to put the animal to sleep. Nothing wrong with that.
What about hunting?
That's okay. What about war?
It's fine.
Any of you see Hacksaw Ridge? The movie? You see it?
I want to see it. It's about that guy who doesn't want to use guns, right?
Yep. I saw it the other day. It's a lot of carnage, a lot of blood, but it's based on a true story. Do you know the plot? How it's going to end?
No, doesn't he use guns at the end, though?
No. What happens is the Second World War, and there's war between the... Do you know anything about the Second World War?
Yeah.
So the Japanese were against us, and eventually they dropped the bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then the Americans end up in Japan. They're fighting the Japanese. And finally, the Japanese are going to surrender. But... what they have to do is they have to capture Okinawa. So the Americans send their troops in, and this guy from Virginia decides that he wants to go, but under one condition: he's not going to use any arms, because what happened was he saw his father beating up his mother, and he pulled out a gun and he almost shot his father, and he said he killed his father in his heart. So he decided from that moment on, he's not going to use any arms. So he goes into, you know what boot camp is?
Military boot camp?
Yeah. So he goes there, and he says he's not going to do it. So the soldiers beat him up, and as well as the officers try to convince him to take up arms, but he's not going to do it. They throw him in jail for a day, and his father, who was next soldier, got a congressional award from the president, so he was exonerated from it. So what does he do? He goes and he goes there, but only to attend to the soldiers that are wounded. So what happens is, during the war there, he saves 45 of the soldiers that are wounded. And he's got to bring them over this huge wall, because there was the wall separating Hacksaw Ridge and the soldiers. So he could pull them up. So he saved 45 soldiers. And the highest ranked general there, or rather the sergeant, said that he was the bravest man in war. And he never picked up an arm, but he was there to save the soldiers that were wounded. Great message. A lot of bloodshed. But that's war. So you think it's wrong to kill in war?
No.
Now, he didn't agree with it. He didn't agree with, you know, using arms. But if we're attacked, for example, you heard of the Second World War, Adolf Hitler, right? Did we have a right to defend ourselves against Hitler?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if not, you know, we would be Nazis now. Do you know what a Nazi is?
Yes.
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 So
He would have probably, the Germans probably would have won the whole world because they had the most powerful army and they're the most intelligent people in the world back in the 40s. The Americans were coming on strong, but Hitler, are you kidding? You know, with the tanks and the bombs that they had developed, they were ahead of us. Eventually we're going to go behind them, but Germany back in the 40s, forget it. They were number one and evil, you know, because they killed all the Jews, right? Anyone that didn't have, you know, blue eyes and, you know, blonde hair, they were considered an inferior race. They were totally racist, no? Like the American Ku Klux Klan, that's what they were, no? The Nazis, no? KKK is here. Ku Klux Klan would be done here, but Hitler was the same. Now, if you didn't have blue eyes or blonde hair, you were a Jew or you're a priest, they would send you off to a concentration camp, they would gas you and kill you.
Supposedly they would like shoot you and burn you.
Shoot your woman. They would shoot you or they'd put you in a gas chamber, you'd suffocate. Or Colby was actually shot with carbolic acid, you know. You know what that is, carbolic acid. Shot that in your... What? Colby? Oh, Hitler, yeah. Yes.
This might be pretty dumb, but wasn't Hitler born a Jewish person, and then
He was Catholic. You know, he wasn't German. You know where he was born? He was born in Austria. Did you know that? Everyone thinks that he was German. He was actually born in Austria. Do you know where Austria is? Austria is one of the most Catholic countries in the world. Not that they practice, I mean, I don't say this too often, but he was under. I think he was possessed by the devil. Not you? I mean, killing 5 million people, killing Jews, and just murdering them mercilessly. I mean, it had to be the devil behind him, right? I mean, he was intelligent. I mean, you put on YouTube, and you listen to some of his talks. I mean, he knew how to talk. He knew how to persuade the mob to follow him. The people, hail Hitler, no? Hail Hitler. But he used his speech, instead of for helping people, he used his speech to kill. He wanted, because what he did was, he studied a German philosopher whose name was Friedrich Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche had a philosophy which asserted there was going to be a superhuman race that was going to dominate the whole world. The superhuman race were the Germans, and they wanted to conquer the whole world and have all the world submitted to them. So Hitler, studying Friedrich Nietzsche, who was a German philosopher about 50 years before him, followed that philosophy. So we had to intervene to be able to fight against Hitler so that Hitler would not conquer the whole world. I mean, my grandfather fought against Hitler. My dad was in the Second World War. I've got brothers that are soldiers. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a soldier, right? You agree with that? Now, this guy wanted to be a pacifist, which was fine. You know, my nephew ended up in Afghanistan. He was a helicopter commander in chief. Some of the most advanced helicopters in the world. My nephew was the head of that and head of a platoon of other guys that he had to be the commander of. I think that's perfectly okay that he was fighting against terrorists, basically in Afghanistan. You have a lot of terrorists, right? Try to save our country of, you know, those terroristic attacks. What were you going to say? So if you're attacked, I mean, a country is attacked, we have a right to defend ourselves.
It's like saying there's a lot of bad people in the United States. Why don't you use bombing to
try to reach that? Okay. Javier, what were we going to say? What were we going to say?
I said, why don't you just bomb Afghanistan?
Well, you know, the problem is this, is that they... Do you know... Do you know the terrain there? There are a lot of hills and a lot of caves there. You can't do it. It's not like Los Angeles. If you got 10,000 caves in which people are hiding them, how on earth are you going to bomb that? That's the terrain. Well, 10,000. That's huge. We don't have enough tanks or soldiers to be able to do it. What? Well, easier said than done. Easier said than done. We have to pray for peace. That's what the Pope wants. Pray for peace. But if someone attacks an innocent person, you have the right to defend yourself. My father used to teach us, never start a fight, but finish it. You ever hear that one?
Yes.
It means this is, someone attacks you, you have a right, thank you, you have a right to defend yourself. What? What? The best thing is to avoid conflict. Okay, let's move on a little bit. Okay, next is this. Number two. Do you have a pencil? Okay, what does it mean, the expression of heaven and earth? It means that God is the creator of all that exists, except for himself. Okay, whether spiritual or material. Okay? Whether spiritual or material. You write that in. As the words immediately following that phrase explain, of all things visible and invisible. Okay, number three. Are there then other invisible realities besides God, who, as we have said, is pure spirit? And the answer is yes. There are spiritual creatures which are invisible. There are spiritual creatures which are invisible. To human eyes. Angels. And also human souls. Angels and human souls. God creates a human soul every time a baby is conceived. What is the difference? What is the difference between the angels and the human soul? The angels are pure spirits created to exist without bodies. While human souls were created to be united with bodies, even though they do exist separately from the body after death, in expectation of the resurrection. Both angels and human souls are immortal. Okay, why don't you write after immortal, write this, live forever. Live forever. Soul is going to live forever. Think about this. Do you think we pay more attention to our body or to our soul?
Body.
Okay. Okay, which is more important, your body or your soul? So why do we have it out of place? I think it's a good question, right? All of you said that. Why do we, if our soul is more important than our body, why do we give more attention to our body over our soul? And it's a good question. That's why I asked you the question. Good point. I like that.
Because people judge you.
Another good response. What do you think?
Maybe because you could feel pain that you want.
What? Okay, and maybe your soul you don't. But you can you can suffer spiritually. You can. Maybe sometimes suffering spiritually is more, can be more painful than suffering physically. Right? For example, the loss of my father pains me in my soul because I really miss him. That's painful. It's not physical, but there's a spiritual suffering there, right? What else do you think?
What was the question?
Well, let me ask you this. What's your name?
Camilo.
What?
Camilo.
Do you think your mother pays more attention to her soul or to her body?
Her soul.
I think so. I saw you and your brother on vacation coming, you know, to Mass, and you know, afterward, praying the rosary. You seem to be kind of asleep during the rosary. I see everything. No, your little brother prays pretty well, though. That little guy maybe can become a priest, huh? See, your mother was there praying fervently, and you're bent over kind of like this, no. I want to get a stick and you know hit him. That's one of my confirmation students. Wake up, no? Well, at least you didn't fall asleep during my homily. Thank you, okay? Your mother spent 10 weeks meditating an hour every day for 10 weeks in my program, right? Well, I mean that. I don't know his mother very much, but she came to 10 of my classes in which she was meditating upon the Bible every day for 10 weeks for an hour and then trying to go to daily Mass. I think because of the exercise program, she'd been converted and come to daily Mass. And I just see a young woman on fire now. And she's trying to give it to him. And I think he's got a little bit more. Your little brother's ahead of you, but you'll catch up to him, right? No, but some of your mothers, I mean, I know your mothers, your fathers, I think that they put their soul above their body. And maybe one day, Leonora, I'd say your mother too. You know, some of your parents, you know, they're going to daily Mass, they're praying, they're trying to go to confession, they go to talks, they go to congressos from, you know, Radio Guadalupe, no? But all of you know, you put it on the balance, our body and our soul. We place our body here and our soul here. But hopefully after 2 years of confirmation, it's going to be the other way around. Our body's important. But our soul is more important. Right? Is that clear? Our body's important. And Jesus said this, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? And say, for example, you know, you've got, you know, a couple billion dollars, and you die in mortal sin, and you got those $2 billion, but your soul goes to hell, and then what happens? No, you can't have that money with you in hell. Once you die, I mean, it's gone. The money goes to, you know, go to the government. Not very good, is it, no? Your money goes to the government, no?
Well,
yes.
What about your will?
Well, it can maybe go to your kids, but if you don't have any family, then it's going to go to the government, most likely. Okay, right. It goes to your kids, no? Or the grandchildren, no? Yeah.
You said, like, some guy is, like, super rich and goes to hell, doesn't take his money. What if the guy goes to heaven, can he still take his money?
No, because in heaven, okay, Okay, let me tell you, what do you think heaven is like? Give me some description.
Probably like rooms full of in and out and lamborghinis everywhere.
Okay, is there going to be happiness?
Probably.
A lot of joy? A lot of friendship? A lot of light? Okay, so you're not going to need any money there because in heaven you got everything, right?
So are you saying in heaven you can technically have whatever you want?
In heaven you have everything you want because if you have God, you have everything. Okay? If you have God, you have everything. And you're going to have God. God's going to have you. You're going to be with Mary, the angels and saints. You're not going to be lacking everything. You're not going to get sick. You're not going to get tired. You're not going to go to bed. You're going to be joyful. It's going to be total light. There's going to be perfect music and light. And think about the happiest day in your life or the happiest hour in your life. Magnify that a billion times, and forever you have a mere glimpse of what heaven is. Got it? Maybe I'm speaking quick. I'm saying, try to imagine the happiest hour or 2 hours in your life. Okay, magnify that joy a billion times, and then forever. So you got a mere glimpse of what heaven is. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. For you, you like parties. You like social activity. You're an extrovert by nature, obviously.
Wait, what do you mean by just you? Like when you go to heaven?
Well, I mean, for me, I don't like parties that much. So for me, I prefer to think about something else.
So like,
I would prefer like talking to Thomas Aquinas one-on-one. He's the most brilliant mind in the world. I'd like to sit and just talk with him and see and talk with this brilliant man, because I'm an intellectual. I like intellectual ideas. I like to talk with the greatest mind in the world. I like to talk with him rather than being in a party setting. But anyway, so you're revealing what you enjoy. I reveal what I enjoy. For example, if I could go to heaven, I would not like to be playing checkers or chess. I like to play baseball because I like baseball. Yeah? Maybe you don't like baseball. But anyway, what you like most
would be all up there.
Yeah. But a million times better. And try to imagine no evil is going to be there. Imagine the best friend you ever had. Imagine the best friend you ever had. So you're going to have a billion friends, a million friends that are going to be a billion times better than your best friend. And I like friendship. I don't know about you. When I was your age, I had good friends. I really like having a good friend. You can share, you know, the same ideas with your friend. Yeah. Yeah, because you damage your body.
What about weeds?
It does also. Drugs or cocaine? No. No.
It's nature made. It's not.
It's wrong. You got to get off it. You got to get off it. No. Get off it. Get off it. It's been proven biologically what it does to your body. It doesn't help your body at all.
No one's died from
it. What?
No one's died from it.
Well, yes. If you're driving,
and you're high, you can crash and die.
Yeah. Your reactions are much slower. Your reactions are much slower. There are accidents because of that. Yes, people have died for it. If you're driving, your reactions are slower, and you're not going to be able to react in front of a car. And also, your sense perception is also changed. Sense perception means if you see a car, The car is 10 meters in front of you. It looks like 5. Then you put on the brake, it's too late. Sense perception. In other words, being able to perceive reality is distorted. That's proven. Makes you more lazy, intellectually lazy. Your reactions are slower. So get off it, no? Get off it. And what is legal is not always right. What is legal is not always moral. You know, abortion is legalized.
Going
back to the money part, why give it to the, why does the government get it if he has a printer, a money printer?
I never thought of that.
Good question, isn't it?
Okay,
good question, but let's get back to number five. We're never going to get finished. Okay, get back to number five. What do we know about the angels? We know that the angels are spiritual creatures gifted with intelligence. Write that in there. Intelligence. And free will. Intelligence and free will. Sacred scripture, which means the Bible, speaks very frequently about the angels. They are much more perfect and powerful. Perfect and powerful than we are. They are part of God's plan for salvation. They are part of God's plan for salvation. The church, too, benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. Some angels remain faithful to God. Would call them to a very, very particular friendship with him through the gift of divine grace. They're allowed to enter paradise. These are good angels who watch over us and protect us. Some of the angels, however, rebelled against God and refused His grace. These angels are called demons. They've been condemned to hell forever.
So if you're an angel, do you still have your free will?
You still have your free will? Well, where are the bad angels now? What's happening to them? They're tortured forever, right? How about the damned souls? They're in hell too.
You said there was no evil in heaven.
No evil in heaven, that's right.
Then how come Satan was an angel, but then
he got kicked off the
planet? Okay, the fact is this, is that the angels had to pass a test. Adam and Eve had to pass a test, and we have to pass a test. Okay, the test that the angels had to pass was to bow down and worship Jesus Christ, who became man. And one, whose name was Lucifer, said, "I will not serve." And a third of the stars fell from the heavens, as you read in the book of the Apocalypse. The stars represents the angels. Now, Adam and Eve, they had to pass a test.
They didn't pass.
Okay, what was the test of Adam and Eve?
Not to eat from the tree.
That's right, the forbidden, it doesn't say apple, the forbidden fruit of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. The tree of good and evil, and what happened was the serpent, which symbolized the devil, started to talk to Eve and told Eve that she could eat it, and she was tricked by the devil. She took from the fruit, bit into it, gave it to Adam. That's called original sin. And all of us are born with original sin. Now, baptism washes away original sin, but we still have the effects of original sin. Which would be, we have a tendency within us to do bad things. If we don't hold that back, then we give in to it.
There's such a thing as
self. First him.
I'm pretty sure this has been asked before, but what happens if you died and you're like a little baby and you didn't get baptized yet?
Good question. What do you think? Good question. Do you think the baby's going to go to heaven or not?
Yes. He goes to heaven, but he's not
he wasn't exposed to evil.
They used to talk about limbo. Have you heard of limbo? Limbo would be like a place of natural happiness, but not heaven.
No.
But that's a theological opinion. The theological problem is this, is that to get to heaven, you have to have original sin washed away. That's the problem. See, that's the problem. But St. Thomas Aquinas says this, that the best way for us to get to heaven are through the sacraments. Okay? However, God can circumvent the sacraments, which means circumvent means that God can go around the sacraments and he can work outside the sacramental system. You got that? Because one of my problems is this, is that how many Catholics do you have in the world? About 1.1 billion out of, I think, sociologists say 7 billion people in the world, right? So there are about 1.1 billion Catholics in the world. What about the other people? Are they all going to hell? Because you guys are fortunate, you're Catholics, but you know most people in the world, you know, they're Buddhists or they're Hindus or they're, you know, they don't believe in God or they believe in some nature religion. No? So my problem is this, how are these people going to get to heaven if they're not baptized? I don't know. It's a mystery, you know?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there such thing as spiritual animals?
What do you mean by that?
Like animals that represent God or the devil?
Well, you know, the devils in hell may look like reptiles or turtles or something like that. They might appear to be like that. You know, if you have
the... Like, you know how in some movies, like, the devil will turn into an animal, like a ram or something?
No. Seen that movie? No, the devil is a devil doesn't have a body, no? It's pure spirit.
Mm-hmm. What if you don't get baptized when you're little? Can you get baptized when you're older?
What do you think?
Yes.
Tell you, you know what happened years ago? It's a good question. My paternal grandfather was never baptized. And he went to college. He became my grandfather. He became a lawyer. He became a writer. Then he became a high-ranked officer in the American Army back in the 40s. And then he came back to the United States and he was the head of the police department in Detroit. And he organized the police department so well that they sent him all over the country to organize police departments throughout the country. This is my grandfather. So one of the reasons why the police departments are well organized is because my grandfather. When he was 60, he had a brain aneurysm. In Spanish, it's called an embolio, where the blood vessel popped in his brain.
Does he die that way?
Not away. They rushed him to the hospital, and then my grandmother sent a priest there, and the priest said, "Do you know you're going to die?" And my grandfather said, "I know I'm going to die." And then my grandfather said, "Well, all my kids are baptized Catholics." And the priest said, "Do you want to become a Catholic?" So right there in the hospital, they baptized him a Catholic. They gave him his first communion, confirmation, and then right out, shortly after that, he died.
So he goes to heaven.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. I mean, it's a beautiful story. It's my grandfather.
How
no? Well, the thing is, we don't know when we're going to die. And what happens is baptism washes away all the sins. I mean, my grandfather, he was a good man, but he was brought up in the South, and his parents didn't give him any religion. So on a human level, obviously he had a lot of gifts. And he married a French Canadian. My grandmother was a really good Catholic. But my grandfather was a big man, 6 foot tall, a muscular guy. You couldn't push him around. You don't tell him what to do. So they were praying for him. And finally, at 60 years old, he finally said yes. I mean, they couldn't tell him what to do. And he just had to wait until the right time, no? But right there, shortly before he died, you know, he was open to baptism, and then he died at my age. You know, he was just 60 years old, brain aneurysm, boom, happen like that? Never tell?
Can you get baptized twice?
No. The Jehovah Witnesses, like if you became a Jehovah Witness, they would say your religion is a Catholic, is a wrong religion, you have to be baptized again. Once you're baptized as a Catholic, that's it. Because our baptism is valid. You're not baptized a second time.
So, like, is that kind of like a lifetime? You just, you know...
What?
You get baptized until you're, like, about to die?
Well, I mean, my you can't do it that way. My grandfather didn't know he was going to die at 60, but it happened that they were praying for him for many, many, many years, and they sent a priest. He could have told the priest to just get out of here. He could have, but thanks be to God he didn't. You know, there are some people, you know, we sometimes go to hospitals and the guys say, get out of here, I don't want to see you with priests, I don't like priests, I don't like the Catholic Church. Sometimes we're rejected, no? Not all people receive us, no? And there are people that don't like the church at all, no? Other people, okay, they'll accept the priest, but, yeah.
If you go to wash away your things, like go tell
baptism?
Somebody your stuff, all your bad stuff, and you don't tell him everything, he's still...
What are you talking about? Yeah. You're talking about confession?
Yeah.
Say the question again.
If you go tell the person you're going to...
The priest?
Yeah, the priest.
Priest.
You tell him...
You're saying, but you hold something back? What do you think? Good questions. You know, it's hard. It's hard, but when you go to confession, you have to tell everything. It's hard. You know, sometimes it's embarrassing, but you know, you got to tell it all. Is that clear? Some things are embarrassing, and you know, but it's hard. You just have to just say it. We're not going to get angry at you. Just say it, no? Say it as clearly as possible, and then God, if you say it and you're sorry, God forgives you just like that. God forgives in a heartbeat. But we don't confess it because of shame or fear. You make a bad confession. You hear me? Say it as it is. All of you guys ought to try to make a really good confession. You're going to have a retreat on the weekend, and just make a confession. And go behind the screen. You don't have to, you know, have to go face to face. You don't have to do that. Just go behind the screen. Say it as it is. You're forgiven. And I have a tendency to quit very quickly. I confess very quickly. I mean, I don't... As a teacher and preacher, I talk a lot. As a confessor, I speak very little. You know, that's my style. You've been hearing me speak so much. Your time to talk. Give you absolution. You're gone. You're forgiven. You live, and you're in peace. If you do it purposely to deceive the priest so he doesn't hear you, that's a bad confession. You got to be transparent. You got to be honest. You got to be sincere. Otherwise, it's a bad confession.
What if you say everything that you remember, and then you walk out, and then you realize, oh wait, I forgot to tell him something.
Okay, they're all good questions. Well, can anyone respond to that? They're all good questions.
Go back.
Well, okay, what happens if there's 10 people online? That's the problem. What do you think?
I think it's okay to go back.
Is that a bad confession that you made if you forgot and you didn't tell it? What do you think? What do you think?
Is it possible to reject someone's confession?
Yes.
You mean, you're saying not to give absolution?
Yes.
Okay, what would happen if a man comes... He says he's living with a woman, and I tell him, okay, I'll absolve you only under one condition, that you have to leave the woman, and the man says, I'm not going to do it. What would you do as a priest? Trying to respond to your question. You understand what I said? Maybe not. Okay. A man is living with a woman, not married. He comes to me, confess, and says, I'm living with the woman, and, you know, we get along pretty well together. We got two kids. And I missed Mass a couple of times. I said, okay, thank you for coming. But for your confession, for your penance, you have to leave your companion, leave her as soon as possible. If you do that, no more relations with her. I'll give you absolution. He says, I'm not going to do that. Well, what would you do as a priest? Now, what would you, okay, what would you do as a priest? I'm trying to get you guys a lot to use reason. Diego, what would you do? You're right. And it's not so much that I'm not going to forgive, it's that the person not willing to give up a sin. Because sometimes I get angry with the priest, and that priest is really mean, he won't forgive certain sins. It's now, I'm not the one that's at fault. He doesn't want to give up the girlfriend.
Is it a sin to give her up, but you said he had two kids. Like, let's say, an example, he had kids.
Yeah.
But to leave her, like, to leave her with the kids?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. He has to leave her, but he has to, are you listening?
Yeah.
He has to support the kids. Economically and morally and emotionally has support, but they can't be living together in the same house.
So he's like
visiting? Visiting, and maybe they can get married in the church and have it blessed.
What if, like, the priest tells the guy to leave the girl, and then the guy says, yeah, but still stays with the girl? Like, is that like
well, then he was dishonest with the priest. He lied to the priest. That would be a bad confession. He just said yes to the priest, just so the priest would give him absolution. But he was dishonest. So that would be a bad confession.
So,
go ahead.
So all those sins that
none of those sins would be forgiven.
Okay.
You know, if you don't have absolution, you leave with all those sins. Right.
Like, what if you kill someone? Like, you
mean,
like, kill the cops?
Right.
Good question. Someone comes in and confesses murder, you know, a very serious, maybe a serial murder. He comes to me, I can't say anything.
Can't?
No.
What if he has, like, a bomb in church? He's like, I'm fine.
Can't do it. Can't do it. We have to have absolute secrecy. It's called the seal of the confession. No? And certain countries, they try to get, certain countries are trying to force priests to open up and break the seal. But we can't do that. You ever hear the story of St. John Nepomucene? He was a priest that confessed to Queen, and the king tried to force him. Remember? What happened?
They killed him.
Threw him over the bridge, right? And he actually died.
He didn't give up the queen's sins.
That's right. And they're a priest. He's not the only one, also. If I told it,
yeah.
we could be expelled from the church. Diego, don't do that. We could be excommunicated from the church. Is that serious?
What? Is that like school? You just like can't come back. Or like,
you're no longer a priest. Is that serious? Because you know, if I could listen to your sins and tell them publicly, no one would want to go to confession, right? Right. It's absolute secrecy. We don't know anything. Like you come out of the confessional and you start to talk to me about your sins and outside, I don't know anything. I just told you, I don't know anything.
What if you kept it a secret with you?
Unless you tell me what I told you in the confessional, you can use publicly. If you say that, then I can. You hear me? You say something, Father, what I've sought, you can use in the open forum. But that's usually not the case. Most people don't want the priest to be talking about their sins, right? They're all good questions. Okay, all very good questions, you know? You're much better this class than a week ago, so try to behave well. Your tendency is you like to fool around, but you can't fool around in class. You tend to be a little bit goofy, no? But you can't be goofy. Okay. We have a very important announcement, right?
So, I also needed to talk to him about certain things during the announcement.
Okay. And the attendance has to be done? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, pay attention.
Did you
have a person? What's that? Yes. I'm going to say... Three Hail Marys, especially for this upcoming retreat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So three Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of death.